Right now, the kingdom is available to you. God sent his son to be the exchange for your life. You can receive the perfect life of Jesus Christ and live forever and have abundant life today. The kingdom is always at hand. It's always available now. You never have to wait for the kingdom of Jesus Christ to arrive. G'day, welcome back to the Kingdom Dynamics podcast. So I'm Jonathan, I'm here in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm going to share the seven tenets of the kingdom. And tenets are like principles. First tenet is that the kingdom is now. This is one of the messages that Jesus was trying to convey to his disciples when he said things like, the kingdom is within you. The kingdom doesn't come with careful observation, but the kingdom is at hand. Number two, Jesus is the kingdom. The king of the kingdom. The words of Jesus are the laws in the kingdom, for example. You can find out more about this in Miles Munro's books on the kingdom. Number three, the Holy Spirit is the kingdom. I believe it's 1 Corinthians talks about the kingdom being righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit is the kingdom. Therefore, the kingdom is being poured out without measure. Therefore, you have the kingdom inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the kingdom. So there. Number four, the church is the kingdom. Because we are one with God the Father. We're one with Jesus. As he prayed in John 17, he prayed that we would be one. So we are the manifestation. We are the body of Christ. So if Jesus is the kingdom and the Holy Spirit is the kingdom and Jesus is in the church and the church is in Jesus and the body of Christ is the church and the Holy Spirit is in and on the church, then the church is also the kingdom. Now, it is also individual people. It's also aggregate people. It's also often an organization, and you're going to need discernment to understand the difference. But you can include that in the kingdom, and it's a little bit complicated, but we're not going to get into that. That's a whole message in itself. Number five tenet of the kingdom is that the world is not God's. God loves the world. He gave his son to redeem the world, but the cosmos, the organization of things on this world is not God's. It is the devil who runs this world. Very important to understand the difference between the world and the earth. The earth is the physical matter. That belongs to God. That's why Jesus could cast out a devil, could heal someone's broken bones, could curse the fig tree, walk on water, command the winds and the waves. But the world is the organization. The world is the system by which the physical matter is organized. And Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He is the ruler of this dark world. There's a whole nother message on that. And Benny Hinn actually does a 5-hour video on YouTube, or someone published it for him, or with or without his permission, I don't know. It's called something like Principalities, and it's a 5-hour, if you search for a 5-hour video with Benny Hinn, you'll find it, because there's not many videos that are 5 hours on YouTube. So, and it's very old, it's been up there for years. Number six, your flesh and your body are not yet fully redeemed. It's so important to understand how the kingdom can operate through your flesh which means you've got to die to yourself. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to pick up your cross and follow him. Jesus said, it's love to lay down your life for your friends. Your flesh is not yet redeemed fully. You haven't received your new your imperishable body. That's what we're hoping for. We have not yet fully been redeemed in our flesh, in our body, I mean, our physical bodies. He can heal our physical bodies. The Holy Spirit is in our physical body. He loves our physical body. He's restoring our physical body, but it's not fully redeemed. You need to understand that your soul is not fully redeemed. He loves your soul. He's a lover of your soul. He's restoring your soul. But that in itself implies that your mind is being renewed. Your mind is being transformed day by day. You're being washed with the water of the word. You can look up all these scriptures. Your soul, in other words, can deceive you. Your body can deceive you. You might feel like doing something that's contrary to the Holy Spirit. It's very important to understand, because you've got to master your soul. God said that to Cain. He said, you know, sin is crouching at the door. You have got to master it. And obviously he failed at that. But he said the same to Peter. He said, Satan is wanting to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. So be encouraged that God is praying for you and I, that the Holy Spirit is the one who puts to death the deeds of your body. If you read Romans and really believe it, you'll realize that you cannot put to death your flesh. You cannot transform your own mind through your own self-help books or whatever. It is by the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit alone who is able to help you, partner with you, if you're willing to put to death the deeds of your body that you may live, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, to be transformed into the image of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who does this, which means you have to be willing to enter in and partner with him and come into the fire. Number seven tenet of the kingdom is that you are like God. You are like God and you own everything. And today I've got in my podcast a snippet from Jean Andrews from redtable.org, but her website's gone down. She's a 72-year-old woman who preached this message in 2019, and it's really great. I have only really heard this through her and through Dr. Kevin Zadi a little bit through others as well. And that is one of my, really, this one tenet wraps it all up together in a bundle. You know, God is wanting a family of children who are just like him. He owns us and he owns everything. And a son, you know, a son doesn't need to pay. A son doesn't need to ask. A son owns everything. A son has the keys to the kingdom. And Psalm 17 says, when we see him, we will be like him. And if you read the Bible really from a kingdom perspective, you're going to see that the God that Romans and Jesus and all of these letters, Paul, they wanted us to know that we are like God. We are one with our Father. Even scriptures in Genesis, like God made us in his image. So if you're physically born, you're going to look like your mum and dad. And we are spiritually born and we look like our Father. Your spirit man is exactly like Jesus. As Paul said, if you're one with him in spirit, as Jesus prayed to the Father that we would be one as he is one. As Jesus prayed to the Father that the glory that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit had in the beginning, before they created the worlds, before they created the universe, that we would be one with that unity, that we would share in that glory. As Hebrews says, he's raising up many sons unto glory. As Romans says, that whether Jesus is the firstborn of many brothers and sisters who own everything, he says we inherit all that God is and all that he has. Think of a little child. A 5-year-old doesn't own anything, doesn't have a bank account, but anything they want, the father is going to give them. They don't need money because their dad is going to provide for them. And this is really who we are. And Jesus said of the religious people that they slam the door in men's faces. Imagine you're running to exit a building. It's on fire. And the fireman is the one responsible to save you. That fireman, he's holding the door open and he's saying, quick, the house is about to fall. And as you are running to his aid and he's holding open the door to your escape, and just as you get to the threshold of that doorway, he slams it in your face. That's the graphic that Jesus is trying to convey here about religion. Religion is not your friend. Politics is not your friend. These two crucified Jesus, and Jesus was very hostile towards the religious people of the day who slammed the door in men's faces. So the kingdom is now. The kingdom is Jesus. The kingdom is the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is in and on and around the church and through the church. The world is not God's. The earth is. Your flesh and your soul are not your friend. You love them and God loves you and he's restoring you, but they are not yet fully redeemed, so don't trust them. You need to build your life on the rock of the word. You need to do what he's doing, not what you feel. This is a lesson most Christians don't learn. Number seven is that you are just like your father. You are just like your father because you are born of God. You're born of the seed of the kingdom. If you are born again, you are not born of the will of man, but you're born of God. And if you've received him, then you've received his seed and you've become just like him. Let me pray. Father, I just pray that this revelation truth would, Lord, be birthed in these people, Lord, that they would be, that they would see God, that their eyes would be opened, that they would see God. Oh, Lord, that they would see and understand the kingdom, that they would, even now, that they have received the seed of the kingdom. Christ crucified is the hope of glory. Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's not just about forgiveness from your sin to live a religious life at all. It's more than that. It is inclusion in the family of God. And I pray the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus to you. I pray that you would eat his body and drink his blood. And I pray that he would catapult you onto a journey that I've been on, that you would be catapulted into a journey of seeking first and receiving the kingdom. And to he who has, more will be given. So what you do is you take this bread and you eat it. You take the words of Jesus. You follow him. One last story, 30 seconds or so. If you want, you might have wanted an encounter with God. You might look at James and John who were taken up the mountain with Jesus and they got to see the transfiguration. But you know what God told me this morning? He said, I'm inviting you, Jonathan. I'm inviting my Christian followers, my people, my brothers and sisters into continual encounters. You know, Peter had an encounter on the roof in a vision. But you know what? He was on the roof. And that's what I'm saying to you today. Jesus invited Peter, James, and John to follow him up the mountain. He didn't invite the others. He invited those three. But he's inviting you and I into encounters every day. But did you go up the mountain with him? You see, he might say to you today, I want you to fast. I want you to miss a meal. I want you to wait on me. He might have encouraged you this morning as you woke up, or last night as you were going to sleep. He might have said something to you that you didn't do. Now, this isn't about condemnation. This is an invitation. Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, he's, look at the Gospels as though it's real, because it is, but as though it's real to you. Because Jesus, had he invited Peter, James, and John, and they said, oh, no, we're not available to come up the mountain today. You go on your own. We've got to go to work. You see, they went with him. They had to go with him. You might think, I wish I was James and John and went up the mountain, but would you have gone if Jesus asked you? Because he is asking you today. He might be invisible and they might have had the benefit of physically seeing him, but even they wrote that we're more blessed this side, you know, of the resurrection, because we're more blessed because we have not seen him and yet believed. So I want to encourage you today to obey the still small voice, because he might be leading you into an encounter every day where you'll never be the same. You might want to have angel visitations, dreams and visions, but have you heard him say to get up on the mount, on the mountain and follow him up there, or to get on the roof and fast and pray until you're out of your mind? Now, Peter might have just been doing that out of a habit, but I think he was led, as you and I are. He was filled with the Spirit, and I believe he would have been, you know, obedient and submitted to God. So just God bless you guys today. I hope you enjoy this 15-minute or so excerpt from Gene Andrews. The link is in the description if you want to find the original video. Bye for now.
And Jesus said, no, don't pull up those plants or you will disturb the good seed, the good plants. Okay, so even after the seed was planted, not only did the plowing stop, the pulling up of the bad seed also stopped. Now, before the cross, God destroyed the earth except for Noah. So he was plowing, he was pulling up. But after the seed came, the plowing stopped. Now think of it like he's a prison warden and he's trying to keep control. He's trying to save the human race enough so that when the seed comes, the ground will not be so overcome with weeds and rocks and stones that the seed will not take. And he said, even then when he came, the human race was barely able to receive him. Barely able to receive him because it had gotten so depraved. All this is really important if you need to understand the God of the Old Testament versus the God of the New Testament. Because the God of the Old Testament was under a different job description than the God of the New Testament. Okay, so the seed is planted. Jesus is here. And now what do we have? We have our Father God ruling over a new race. A new race. The human race is no longer of Adam. The human race today is of Jesus. You and I, we are a different race than that race because we are born of a new seed, a different seed. People in this day were born of Adam. People in this day, you and me, are born of Eve. Are born of Jesus. Born of God. We are sons and daughters of God. They were sons and daughters of Adam. Think of the scriptures. Born of the Holy Spirit, John 3. Born of God. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means you look just like God. You are of his family. Little baby is born. Oh, he has his daddy's eyes. He looks just like his mother. You have that DNA of your father, Father God, and you have the DNA of Holy Spirit. You are born of Holy Spirit. You do have the nature of God in you. Because you are of God. You are of God. You're born of God. Now, Suppose there's a guy here living in this prison of sin, and he's an old, seasoned, tough guy with a leathery face. He's a murderer. He's executed. He's murdered quite a few people. He's really a bad dude. And the prison warden is a pretty strict guy who won't take much off of him. And he looks over at this other world, and he sees the prison warden go home at night to his family. Now think about that. Father God, as the prison warden, at the end of the day, he can go home to his wife and kids, if you will. And let's say there's 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 8-year-old kids. Does he treat them the same way he treats those? No, of course not. In fact, here's the place he can actually rest and enjoy life, enjoy his family. An analogy that kind of helps us understand. When I was in college, there was a math professor that I worked for, graded his papers, and he had a terrible reputation at the university. He was very strict. The reputation was he was terrible. He was just a mean teacher. He'd get Fs in his class. That actually wasn't true because I graded his papers and knew better. But that was the reputation he had. He had a terrible reputation. And the reason he had that reputation was because his first class at that university, the first year he was there, was filled with a bunch of lazy dummies. And he had to give a whole lot of D's and F's that first semester, and it sealed his reputation for years. People just assumed he's tough. So you avoided his class, if at all possible, because he's tough. One day, he invited me and a friend to come home to meet his wife and kids. And when we got out of the car, we drove up the driveway. It was a beautiful home in the country. Drove up the driveway. Dr. Hutchison got out of the car. His Labrador came running. His big old red dog came running down the drive at him. He was so glad to see that dog. This is what he did. He got down on all fours and he goes, and the dog came running toward him and jumped on him and he rolled over like that. And then came his kids. He had 5 of them. And they came running down the drive and just jumped on him. He was rolling in the grass with his kids. And I looked and I thought, oh my gosh, goodness, this is not the Dr. Hutchison I know. He was like a different person when he left the university and went home to his family. And I could tell he was mighty glad to be there. And he was a good man. He really was a good man. But he had to bear up under that reputation he had at the university, which he did not like, but wasn't his fault. He couldn't help it. But at home, he could be the loving daddy of all these little kids and his big dog who adored him. His reputation was not built on his character. It was built on the character of the people he led. Okay, so here we have our Father. Because of what Jesus did and who he is, and we can enter into what Jesus did for us, we become born again. Now, so there's a seasoned criminal here, and he looks and he sees that. He sees the warden go home and rough and tumble in the grass with his children, and they eat at a fine table. And they have a fine house, a beautiful home, and he looks at that and he says, I think that's where I want to be. I want to be one of his sons. And so he knocks on the warden's door and he said, sir, I see you treat your children much better than you treat me. Could I go home and be one of your kids? Could I sit at your table and maybe just sit in the high chair and let you feed me applesauce? What do you think that warden would say? You must be out of your mind. You must be nuts if you think I'm going to let you live in my house with my kids and I'm going to feed you applesauce in the high chair. Who do you think you are? Get back in your cell. So what happens? How does this hardened criminal who was you and me, that's who we were, how do we get from here over to here, little boy, little girl, tumbling with Daddy God in the driveway, playing with a dog, eating at Daddy's table, everything cared for, own nothing but have everything? How do we get from there to here? The only way is to get what we deserve, execution. This hardened criminal deserves to die. And if we're going to get from there to there, we have to do it by execution and burial. Yes. We got to die. You got to be executed. You got to pay for what you got, what you did. Because the blood cries out from the ground. The blood demands justice. Mm-hmm. And justice must happen. Mm-hmm. So you and I, we have to be executed. You had to die. You got to realize you had to die. It was the only way to get from here to here. You had to be executed and buried and born again, raised from the dead, a new creation and a new family of the new and different human race. That is the sons and daughters of God. The Lord told me this morning, if it goes where it can go today, the only response will be worship. That's what he said. The only proper response will be worship. How can you do anything but worship when you understand and are reminded of where you and I were and where we are now? Jesus. Okay, so we're going to talk now about what happened here. We died, we were buried, we were resurrected, we were put into a new family. What does that look like? Let's go to Colossians 2, let's read the scripture.